Okay, so it's now drawing close to midnight. And what I thought I might do is we'll talk a little bit more about meditation, and then we'll have just some meditation time over midnight and up to about 12:30 or so. And before we do that, I thought I might just give a few reflections about the whole idea of New Year. Of course, in one way, the concept of New Year is just an idea, isn't it? Yeah, it's just a calendar turns over and doesn't mean anything. But human beings we're creatures who like to find meaning in things. In a sense, we're born into a world that doesn't have any meaning. Meaning is not something which, it's not a property, it's not an objective property of the world. It's something in what we bring to it, what we find there. And so we mark these arbitrary times in the calendar, and we say, this is new. Okay, let's say it's new. Of course, it means different things in different places. I mean, the traditional calendar, obviously the calendar we're operating on today is the European calendar, and in Europe at this time of year is like the cold of winter, right? The dead of winter. Everything is dead. All the trees are dead. I've just been in Europe and driving around Germany and so on. You see all the trees don't have any leaves. Everything looks dead. And so from this time is the time when the days start to get longer, everything starts to warm up a little bit, and you start to get that feeling that springtime is in the air. So if we're going to have a Happy New Year, one of the things that we're going to have to do is to let go of the past year. And that's one of the things that marking and celebrating the new year can help us to do. It help us to give us a moment or a point. When we cross over that point, we can leave the past behind. And we have a future that's full of possibilities. And full of challenges. So this time of year, in all the newspapers and so on, they're all kind of giving us the reminding us what happened and giving us lists of the most important things, or what stories have happened in the past year and so on and so forth. But what happens next year, of course, is wide open. One of the most important qualities that we develop in Buddhism is the quality of choice. In Pali they're called cetana. And when we have that, when we make those choices, each choice we make creates a future. And it doesn't just create a future, every choice we make destroys countless other futures. Every time we decide to travel down a road, there's 1,000 other roads that we haven't traveled down. So we should be very careful about what other choices we make, because they have consequences which are far beyond what we could imagine or what we can conceive. We often feel as if we are the victim. We feel like we are we feel like there's nothing we can do. We feel like there's no we didn't have any choice. I had to do it. I didn't have a choice. Actually, those words shouldn't be part of our vocabulary. You always have a choice. In fact, everything you do is a choice. Even if you're physically constrained, locked in prison, kept in shackles, you still have a choice. How are you going to use your mind? I remember once reading an interview with a Tibetan monk who was talking about the experience when the Chinese invaded and they were killing people and destroying the monasteries, and he was imprisoned and tortured and so on. And they asked him, was he ever afraid? And he said, yes, he was. They said, what are you afraid of? He said, I was afraid that I would lose my compassion. I was afraid that I would give way to hate. So you can see in that example that even in the most powerless of circumstances, when everything is stripped away from you, when nothing is left, you still have that choice. And in making that choice, that monk had so much more power than his oppressors, yeah, his captors, the people who were beating him. They had choices too, right? And they had chosen to go under the sway of greed, hatred, and delusion. And because of that, that monk was the victor. Didn't feel like it at the time, but he was the one who came out of that with his dignity and his wisdom and his compassion. They came out of it with nothing. At that time, it looks like he's suffering. But if you look 10 years later, 20 years later, 30 years later, those physical pains and scars have faded. But those qualities of mind which he's developing, they are still there. So when we come into the new year, we each have a choice. How are we going to live for the next year? What are we going to be able to say at the end of the year? I made more money than last year. I bought a bigger house, a bigger car. Or are we going to say, I was kinder this year. I tried more to help people. You know, as a monk, I attend quite a lot of funeral ceremonies. It's one of my favorite things. Monks are kind of morbid like that. We like death and things like that. And when you go to funerals, you always see... The reason I like funerals is because they're much... To me, they're very honest. And they bring people together a lot. Death is one of the great uniters. Yeah? Very often you come to a funeral and families all together and actually they haven't seen each other for years. Yeah? It's the best way to bring the family together is to die. And when you're at the funerals, you know, you hear many eulogies. People talk about someone's life and what they did and so on. And they never say, oh yes, they drove a really good car. They built a very big house. That was their achievement. Yes, they certainly had a big house. They had a powerful job and lots of people worked for them. That was their that was their accomplishment. No, they never say that. People always say something about people's kindness, about their sense of humor, about their compassion in suffering, about their resilience, about the moments when somebody was suffering and then that person reached out for them and gave them a helping hand. These are the things that I've heard at funerals. This is what people are remembered by, and this is what you'll be remembered by when you die. Yeah? At your funeral, everybody, your family's going to be coming together. Everyone's going to have to do a eulogy. Not everyone, but they'll have to say a few words. And are they going to have to struggle to think of something to say? I'm sure they must have done something good sometime. So we have that choice, how we're going to live our life. We live in an extraordinary generation. We have technology, wealth, power, beyond the reach of pretty much anyone in history, both individually and collectively as a society. With each year, it seems that we grow more adept, more clever. We have more capacity. And yet the creation of technologies, the development of science, the advances in human culture and so on, these are not things that that by themselves have any value. They don't in themselves have any meaning. They only have a meaning in terms of what we can bring to them, how we choose to use them. And I believe that it's no exaggeration to say that we, our generation, holds the keys to the future in our hands. What we are doing with the environment, climate change, the challenges to our society, the poverty, the extinction of species, the acidification of the oceans, so many things where our power, our choices, have had all of these unintended consequences. That's not stopping anytime soon. It's not going away anytime soon. In fact, the consequences of these choices will continue to grow year after year, generation after generation, for hundreds of years in the future. Not just we will experience these, our children will, our children's children, and their children, and their children, and their children, for hundreds of years in the future, maybe thousands of years. They will be experiencing the results of our choices. We've been given a land, given a planet, which is so beautiful and so fertile and so abundant in so many things. We've seen the photographs from space of our tiny little blue gem floating in the darkness. There's a lot of darkness out there, a lot of space, a lot of coldness and hardness and the fire of the suns. And we can look such a long way with our telescopes, and we've looked through the galaxy for years looking for something. And there's nowhere. So far we haven't found anywhere that's as beautiful and as wonderful as our planet. You see the photographs that come from Mars, and it's amazing that we can take those photographs and they show us a land that's bare, just bare dirt everywhere. Only planet Earth, this is our home. And how is it that we can take our home and just trash it? Just not care. We just think that our choice to have cheap energy, our choice to have a big car, our choice to have a big house, our choice to use and consume, we think that this, we don't think twice about it. We don't think about the consequences. We don't think about who will suffer as a result of our choices. In a way, it's very easy for us to feel powerless. I feel that too myself. I feel like, what can I do to make a difference? What can I do to help people to just be content? Actually, if we just have what we need, then it's not all that much, really. What we need is so little. You know, when I arrived in Germany a couple of weeks ago, I got off the plane and I had my monk's bag. See this bag here? It was a bit fuller than this because I had left some stuff back in the room that I'm staying in. And I got off and I just had this bag. And the people said, "Oh, where's the rest of your luggage?" And I said, "Oh, that's it." They said, "That's all the luggage you've got." And I said to them, no, you don't understand. This isn't my luggage. This is everything that I own in the entire world. Yeah. Everything that I own fits in this bag. And if it doesn't fit in that bag, then I give it away. But you know the real problem with that? It's too many things. I actually put all these things in there. I'm thinking, I didn't need that. I bought too much. Actually, I only need about half of that. Yeah. How much do we need? And we think, how much is everything that we're using? You know? To make this water bottle takes about a third of that water bottle of crude oil to make that one bottle. Yeah. A third of oil for one plastic bottle. Yeah. The energy, the transporting, the manufacture. But we don't think twice about it. It's just water. We take it, we drink it, we throw it away. Where does it go? We don't care. Who it affects, we don't care. I was very pleased when we were saying it at Santi Monastery, and the town we were in, Bundanoon, became the world's first bottled water-free town. Yeah, so we banned bottled water in the town. Yeah, so that's good, isn't it? Yeah. There's only one small little thing. So it's not good enough for us to think of our choices, our ethics, our sila, our morality, purely on a sort of personal or local level. We are global citizens, and the Buddha's ethics is always based on these universal considerations. Sabbe Satta, may all beings. And the Buddha's ethics, the Buddha's sense of compassion was unparalleled, immeasurable. You think back to those times, think back to ancient India, the time the Buddha was living. Historically, you know, it was a very underdeveloped period. You know, there was no technology that we know of today. They had very limited, you know, the cultural horizons were very limited, all of those things. And yet, even within that context, he still had that incredible sense of universal compassion and loving kindness. And what right at the heart of what he taught when teaching the Dhamma. Most, if we look around the world, most ethical systems are sort of based on me, my family, my tribe, my nation. And the Buddha had none of that. It's based on all beings. And even in the time of the Buddha, we find stories. Most powerfully in something like the Aganya Sutta, where the Buddha talks about and the development, the evolution of society, and how the environment, what we think of as the environment, is not something which is independent from us, but something which is interconnected with us. The choices that we're making, acting out of greed, hatred and delusion, they're not just limited to us. It's not just we experience the suffering. All beings experience that suffering. Our world evolves together with us and together with the choices that we make. We are the ones who will choose what kind of future we're going to live in. What kind of future are we going to give to our children? What sense of care and compassion do we have for all the animals, all the beings that we share this planet with? It's not just our planet. We don't have any right to just use it for whatever we want. So ours is a pivotal generation, a pivotal time. It could go both ways. You know, as an Australian, I'm conscious in Australian history. If you look in the archaeology, you can see they have lots of very, very big bones from huge wombats and giant kangaroos, wombats as big as cows. Yeah? It'd be slightly scary to see something that big, and huge kangaroos and all of these things. Where are they now? Well, they all disappeared. There are different theories about why that's the case, but one of the most influential theories notices that the Aboriginal people arrived in Australia at around the time that those bones disappeared from the fossil record. Yeah? And so it seems that what happened was that the Aborigines arrived, they saw all of these big, fat, huge wombats walking around the place and thought, yippee, let's have a barbecue. And so they had a big barbecue for a couple of hundred years or a few thousand years. Oops, none, no more. They're all gone. Yeah. And only then did they learn, slowly through trial and error, how to live with the environment, how to live with nature, how to develop that respect for nature. A number of years ago we were doing a conference in Perth. This was before I was a monk, and we did a panel on vegetarianism. And I spoke about it from a Western philosophical tradition. It was before I encountered Buddhism even. And one of my other panelists was an Aboriginal elder called Ken Colbung. And Ken Colbung talked about how in his followed his traditional Aboriginal beliefs. He wasn't a Christian or anything like that. And he said, according to his beliefs, that they should never kill an animal, and that this was something which was very, very harmful and very wrong to do. And he said that his people would only do that when they really had to. And if they had to kill a kangaroo or kill a snake for food, then they would pray for that animal. They would ask forgiveness, and they would explain to the animal that they need food for themselves and for their family. And they'd ask forgiveness and do a ceremony for the spirit of that animal when they killed it. And so that was his belief. And so they learnt that we live in we don't live separately. We never have done. We have an illusion that we live individually. We have an illusion that we can get a job and a career and do all of these things and get money and get things and have things and then we'll be happy. We have this illusion. But it's nothing. It's just emptiness. The reality is that we exist interdependently. We always have done. Together with each other, together with the world around us, the environment. And so if we're going to have a life in the future, if we're going to have a good life for ourselves, our families, our children, for all beings, then we need to consider very carefully what are the choices that we make. Are those choices made out of compassion, out of loving kindness, out of wisdom? Or are those choices made out of selfishness, cruelty, greed, delusion? Okay. So that's a bit of a short talk for you this evening on the topic of the new year and how we can reflect about it. What I'd like to do now, we can hear obviously the crackers starting to fire up again, so the devas getting excited. And so maybe what we can do is do some meditation. Now it's 11:45, we can do some meditation through to say 12:30. Does that sound like a good idea? Yeah? We can just do some silent meditation. And then we'll be hearing all of that noise and so on, and we can hear it come up and we can hear it go away. And just let what I've been talking about, just let that sink in. Don't think about it or reflect about it or anything, but just let that sink in. Let your mind become quiet. And then from that we can see each person has to answer that question for themselves. How do I want to live for this coming year? Okay, so let's do some meditation.